Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Time is taking flight.
Hello and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle, the man with the mic. What a conversation we got for you tonight. On the conversation, conservative, outspoken Ann Coulter says she is no longer on the Trump train. Well, prepare to get run over. I want to get into kind of what she thinks and some of the thoughts she's had, and this is sad. Brittany Simpson was charged. 31-year-old Brittany Simpson was charged with shooting 66-year-old Robert Simpson Tuesday, just days after the parents won a court eviction order kicking them out of their $1 million waterfront suburban South Charleston home. Court records show. I will explain the whole story and give my thoughts. Kara McAuliffe of the District of Columbia was asked Sunday night at the pageant, one of those wonderful, like, you know, let's degrade women and make them all look like they're Barbie dolls when that's not the majority of Americans. They ask her this question, you know, is affordable health care for U.S. citizens a right or a privilege? My thoughts on what she said, and some things that a lot of people aren't talking about, and I'm going to get into that. And they also ask her a question about feminism, and I want to talk big time about that, because it has a lot to do with what's going on in this world in general. There's feminism, and there's racism, and there's all kinds of stuff, and I want to get into that, and a couple other things. Also tonight in the conversation, I'm going to get into how Trey Gowdy says that he doesn't think he's the right man and is taking himself out of the running of the FBI director's position. Talk about things. I kind of agree with that, and I'm going to get into that. I wish he would do it, but I can also see his point. I'm going to talk about that. And, wow. Finally, Wayne Rooney opens up about his future at Manchester United and what he wants, and I'm going to get into also the Kansas Speedway and Derek Amarola and how he's doing as he suffered an injury on Saturday night's race. That and more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. Corinthians 13:6. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Kind of think about that as you're going through your evening today, and welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. And last week I had a kind of setback. That's why I did one conversation last week, because my mother and father-in-law came into town, and they normally stay for like 6-7 hours, and then they got to be home because they're getting up there in age, and they ended up staying the night, so we had to clear out the spare room, which we got packed with stuff, a lot of my drums and everything, because we're getting ready to move. And in the process of doing that, I took some drums that are like one of a kinds, and I put them in our bedroom closet. And on the way back out, I hit my broken foot, toe, crack, fracture thing on the vacuum, and I didn't want my wife to know because I don't want to freak her out. But then when you scream and she's like, "What'd you do?" I'm like, I mean, it's painful, so you can't really not scream. But then again, you know, you don't want her to know because you don't want her to worry. But, you know, so. But I'm back. And what a conversation, folks. You know, I'm so sick and tired of the DNC bullcrap. Somebody is out to get Trump. Okay, Trump gave up his billionaire lifestyle so he could be ridiculed, he could be attacked, he could be slayed, he could be torn up, chewed up, and spit out. For what? To help the American people. What did Bob Knight say? Because he actually was, I love Bob Knight. I've been a huge Knight fan my whole life. And what he said when he was in Indiana getting to introduce Donald Trump at a rally, he goes, like, basically, who gives a damn about the Democrats? Who gives a damn about the Republicans? We need to care about the American people. You know? And that's how I've always been like that. Okay, well, there are going to be some Democrats that, because of some things that happen, they're going to make it. There are going to be some, you know, what about the majority of Americans? You got Maxine Waters has a $4.5 million home and two other homes that are equivalent to almost $1 million. And what does she make? She makes $174,000 a year as a congressman. And you tell me, where is she coming up with that kind of cash? I guarantee you, if I had a $4.7 million home and I was bringing home $150,000, the FBI would be sure in the heck investigating, and so would be the IRS, and so would be the government. But we need to see, we got these evil, greedy Republicans. Oh, damn. You know, Trump is so greedy and so evil. Man. Give me a coat, man. I have the air conditioning on, you know. I got like a 7,100 million square foot home. You know, I use more electricity in one day than some people use in their whole lifetime. But you know, we gotta care about the environment, you know. Yeah, I still run cars on leaded gas. Yeah, I support lead paint. Yeah, I got my houses all lead paint, whatever, you know, but we gotta save the environment, folks. Yeah, I only use cans that have Freon in it. Only if it doesn't have Freon, then I don't, you know, I want to deplete. No, but I support the environment, you know. Ridiculous. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, you see those stories where they'll say, like, well, there was one that was hilarious, and I can't really, because of what he said, say it all, but... when they fake like Tommy Chong's death, and if you follow him on Twitter, he got on there, he goes, I'm not bleeping dead, and he's sitting there, I got a joint in my hand, I'm smoking, I'm in pain, but I'm high as a kite, I'm not effing dead, and all this stuff. And there was a thing where Willie Nelson, they said he died and all this stuff, and people sometimes believe this stuff. Or what's really been happening recently is they'll put like someone that's already died, like, you know, Percy Sledge found dead. I'm like, yeah, he's been dead. I'm like, I thought he already died, and he did, but someone puts it up like it's brand new. But these fake death posts, I wonder if CNN sits there and goes, has like a brainstorming meeting. Well, what can we sit there and get people to believe? Oh, well, but what it proves, what's going to prove my point, that people will believe if Donald Trump, if these allegations about him when he had that meeting with Russia, if these allegations of him saying that, you know, he handed out classified information, if they're true, you know, if that was Obama that was being accused of this, no one would believe it. But since it's Trump, it has to be true. Even though there's only one Russia media source or two, hardly any there. First of all, how do you know if he handed out classified information? And even if they say, well, here's the information he handed out, how are you going to prove it's classified? How are you going to prove that what he said, he could have been making all that crap up? But I will say this. What happened when the Boston bombing happened in America? Well, folks, we can't really jump to conclusions right now. We have to wait till all the facts are in. You know, Obama, when we got attacked in New York and New Jersey in that one day, and in the Boston bombing and all this stuff, he was like Officer Bar Brady.
Move along now. Nothing to see here. What happened when ISIS attacked Syria? What did Putin do? He fought back. He bombed back. He did something. What did Trump do? Not a damn thing. Oh, yeah, Trump did something, but Obama didn't do nothing. Obama's one of those people that would be like, you mean to tell me that I had to get off the golf course? This is bullcrap. I have to get off the golf course because someone died? An American? Are you kidding me? You will not again get me off the golf course. You understand that? That's, you know. But Trump, you know. I mean, when you look at what Russia did when they got attacked by ISIS, maybe he's sharing information. He goes, well, hey, at least Putin's tried to do something to stop ISIS. Maybe we got an ally against ISIS. But the odds of you ever finding out if any information was really ever shared or what it was and how would you prove it? How are you going to prove stuff about ISIS if it's real or not? All you Democrats out there, you forget when Barack Obama was sitting there going up against Mitt Romney for president, and you overhear this on the hot mic that as soon as I get reelected, you know, I'll have more freedom, you know, I'll have more leverage. They don't want to talk about that, you know, when Barack Obama was kind of buddy-buddy with Putin. That's okay. If the media went after Obama like they're going after Trump, it'd be 10 times worse. His presidency would be 10 times worse. Trump couldn't sit there and go up to CNN and say, okay, shut your pie hole. No. They'd be, well, Trump told us to shut our pie hole. But if Obama did it, hey, he's paying their salaries, so they couldn't say anything. It's just ridiculous. Somebody has it out for Trump. Somebody does. But then you got to understand. You got to understand this, though, from day one. You know, before he was even president, they're like, we got to impeach him. We're gonna impeach him. Oh, we're gonna find something. Okay. We got 100 million people all around the world trying to dig up anything they can on Trump. He's gonna be impeached. He's gonna be impeached. I guarantee you. We got 100 million people. We're gonna find something on Trump. I don't care if he didn't pay a parking ticket. I don't care what he did. I don't care if he put his underwear backwards. We're gonna impeach him. We're gonna find out. We're gonna somehow get his tax returns and go through every single one. And if we find where he didn't pay one dime. If he was short one dime, we're going to impeach him. We're going to find, I don't care what we're going to do. I don't care. This country's going to fall apart. We're going to have World War III, but who cares? We're going to impeach Trump. We're going to find something. I don't care. What we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to riot and we're going to burn buildings down and that's going to solve everything. Lord, help me. But don't worry, folks, because you have Harvard having a separate graduation for black people. Well, Hillary Clinton, you got your way. Because, as you all know, Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl. She was proud to be a Goldwater girl, and Barry Goldwater wanted to resegregate America, and Trump, my friend, I hope you can reverse this because Obama got his wish. He wanted to divide America, and that's what's happening. You're having black people that want to have their own dormitories and they want to have their own graduation. When are we going to stand up and say, hey, yo, buddy, get in front of that x-ray. Okay, come here. Can you tell me, is he water blocked by the x-ray? I don't think so. But what do you know? What do you know, folks? That's the problem. See, I have a proud dad. My dad could have gotten a Purple Heart. My dad was one day away from being in... He was at the Iran embassy one day before that hostage situation, before basically no more with buddy-buddy with Iran. He was one day away. And if he would have been there, I'd have been like free for life. I wouldn't have had to pay for hardly anything. I want a loan, no big deal. I need this. Because you get all these things. My dad, I could have gotten like free college and all this stuff if my dad was a Purple Heart. But my dad's like, no. My dad, better than that. But that's my dad, though. My dad's too prideful. He's like, oh, no. I did my service. Like it or leave it. You know, I did what I did. I don't, you know, I did what anyone would do. I don't, you know. But I want to get into this as I tie back into this. But Matt Chalap said, former FBI Director Comey is trying to appear as a leader, standing up for the Constitution, but instead is acting like a politician. You know? All this stuff is, it's crazy, this stuff going on. You know, I believe, like, Eric Erickson is a conservative writer who says that one of the leakers is a Trump supporter who is frustrated with the fact that the president is not taking prudent advice from his colleagues. Like, some of his people that he's surrounding himself with, he's kind of doing his own thing. Instead of listening to them, they're, like, getting tired of it. So, hey, let's do this crap. You know, I've always believed, and I said this, you know, Trump needs to, it's sort of like if you win the lottery, you need to have an accountant to manage your lottery winnings, but you need to have a person monitoring that person. You need to have a person that doesn't even, no one knows exists but you, that is monitoring the person, monitoring the guy that's doing your, you know. You know, Trump needs to have someone that he would trust with his life, watching his back 24/7, 365. Okay, yeah, you're the Secret Service. This guy is my blood brother. He would do anything for me. He will be within 2 feet of me at all times, no matter what. He will stay in my room and sleep. He will be everywhere. I go everywhere he goes. And, I mean, there's somebody out for Trump. I mean, like I said, from day one, we got to impeach Trump. You know, he hadn't even been, you know, Obama's still president, but we have to impeach Trump. We have to impeach him. I'm just so tired of all this stuff that if it was Obama, they'd be, you would never hear about it. But since it's Trump, oh, we got to make up all this crap. It's ridiculous. I haven't gotten into it with somebody one time on Facebook. I'm like, yeah, and I said this person, because I love giving people crap on Democratic like pages, and I'm like, yeah, and you probably still think that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii, and I'm like, well, if you believe he was born in Hawaii, then you're as dumb as then you're right where the Democrats want you, because they want you stupid. They don't want you to know anything. They want you to get effed in the A all day long and not realize you're getting screwed. They want you to be like Ed McMahon was. Well, yeah, I've got this guy. Yeah, he's a great person. Then by the time you realize it, hey, he's taking all the money. I said, well, Unfortunately, ma'am, I know five real Africans, not fake Africans. And this lady's like, wait, fake Africans? Are you stupid? I'm like, no, these are people that were born in Africa. These aren't people that come from LA or Chicago or New York that claim they're African-American, but they were born in the States. These people come from Africa. They know what it's like in Africa to not have and to have to walk a mile with the bucket and fight to get water. And then you got to walk that bucket back and you pray to God you don't dump it, because then you're back to square one. And the three of the people that I've worked with were born in Kenya, Africa. And they are proud of Barack Obama because if an African-born Kenyan like Barack Obama can become president of the United States, there's no dream too small. They can dream big. So either everyone in Kenya who believes Barack Obama was born there, knows he was born there, and the way they tell their people and the fact that they have a sign that says, you know, Kenya, welcome to Kenya, home of Barack Hussein Obama. Either that's all a lie and all the Kenyans that believe he was born there are lying. The Democrats are right, and I highly doubt the Democrats are right. You know, why would a paper say, oh, a native-born son? They didn't say, well, we consider him a native-born son, but he was born. No, they say he was born right here in Kenya. End the story. I love getting on those sites and giving people crap because they don't make sense. You know, when you see those videos where they walk around and ask those people, who do we gain our independence from? Someone said, well, that's not, they just hand select people. I'm like, it doesn't matter. If you're in college and you don't know who we gained our independence from, those videos are sad. It's scary. Let's say they interview 100 people and 10 can't answer basic questions. That's still, how can you get into college if you can't tell me that, okay, on July 4th, 1776, we gained our independence from England and Great Britain, that the Civil War was between the North and the South, the Democratic-controlled South and the North. The Yankees. And like I tell people, yeah, that's Confederate flag's racist. So that's not a Confederate flag. Yes, it is. No, a Confederate flag is, see, that flag is rectangle, ma'am. A Confederate flag was a square flag, and it was a battle flag to indicate the South. If it's not square, it's truly not a Confederate flag. It has the Confederate design, but it's not a true Confederate flag. A true Confederate flag was a square. Know your history. Oh, but we need to erase history. We need to take down this statue of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Democrat who from the South started the Ku Klux Klan. We need to take down that because that's racist. So why not just erase the history? If North Korea ever topples, they should know that this is where we came from. This is what we had. We had a Juche ideology where we had a person that believed he was the creator. And they need to know that so that they don't repeat themselves. We need to know our history. We may not support the Ku Klux Klan, but they're a part of our history. Whether you want to agree with it or not, I don't agree with hangings of Black people, but it was a part of our history. People need to be taught this. They need to know it. They need to know that it was a Black person that was given falsified information to the British to help us win this Revolutionary War. It needs to be taught.
31-year-old Brittany Simpson, as I move on, was charged with shooting of her 66-year-old dad, Robert Simpson, at their million-dollar waterfront mansion in South Carolina. Yep, the parents finally were tired of her kind of mooching off them, and she was basically sayonara Sodom, and they actually won an eviction order, and when she didn't want to leave, she, like the day she was supposed to leave, that morning, she shot her dad. And there were people that witnessed her going, and they said, go over there, there should be in the water a knife and all this stuff, and they found all this stuff that she had thrown in the water. And I guess her attorney is claiming that she was jobless due to disability. It didn't really state in the article what she was disabled from, or, you know, if she actually, you know, if there really is something. It didn't really say if it's like, okay, yeah, she broke her leg or something, she's temporarily disabled, but, I mean, heck. You can go to Walmart and be a greeter and be in a wheelchair. I've seen it. But, I mean, there's no justification for killing your own father. It's probably one of those where, hey, he busted his ass and he's to get to where he is, and she just wants to mooch off him, and he's finally like, okay, yeah, you've mooched off of us enough. Okay, time to fend for yourself. We have this entitlement society. You know? I took 99% of my birthday money, and when I had to buy stuff for me and my wife, and a lot of times my wife, I had no problem because I married her. She is like my child, kind of, and I'm like her child. We do stuff for each other. We're there for each other. And I have no problem saying, okay, hey, here you go. I mean, we're not necessarily, but that's how I look at it. You know, I'd do anything for her and she'd do anything for me. And, you know, and I finally got some money, if you ever know what a Fender Stratocaster looks like, it's like that, but it's a miniature ukulele. And if you have it set one way, it can sound like just a regular uke. But if you do it the other way, you can sound almost like an electric guitar, but it's a uke. But I finally saved up some money and I got me it for my birthday finally. But it's something that I take pride in those drums because I paid for them. They weren't given to me. I wasn't given them. It wasn't an entitlement. I had to earn my degree when I went to culinary school. All the fun I had there when we did the pastry test and they would sit there and, like, when you make, I think it's the Italian meringue, and it separates before it comes back together. And when it was separating, the chef's like, you screwed up. And I'm like, yeah, I know. This is like the third time I've had to start over. But there's no way I could have. I was just giving him a line. But he knew I was. He's like, okay. He goes, it'll come back together and you're doing it right. So. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just because they'll sit there and they'll try to get you to think that you screwed up and start over. So I'm like, I'm going to try to one up on the chef. But there's no way I could have taken that long to get, like, the amount of time it would have taken to get the sugar and water to get to the temperature it needs to. It's physically impossible for me to have done it three times. But, hey, it was worth the shot. But it was in our practical, so we kind of just, like, because, like, basically during the pastry practical, you have to do all this stuff, and, like, you can only ask, like, two questions, which you didn't ask any, but we sat there. The only problem we did is we did some stuff with bananas where we did, like, a chiffon-style cake where you roll it out thin, and then you put, like, the buttercream in there, and you roll it up, and we did banana-flavored ones, and that was the only negative thing they said is bananas really don't go well big, and, you know, I mean, it's nothing. Everything was great. It's just bananas aren't really a big thing up there. So he said, we can't really dock you anything, but it was tough. You had to earn it. You can't work. OK,
Okay, because in 2 weeks you're in AM bake shop, 2 weeks you're in PM bake shop, which is overnight from 11 o'clock till 7 in the morning. And then usually we'd have like, the meal would be like breakfast in the morning, and you make like sambal chili paste, and you put that on for tomato sauce and a pizza chef made for us. Yeah, that was no fun. But we had to earn it. The only thing good, because I saw a thing where I guess Tennessee now is going to offer free community college for people, and I think that's a good thing if it's what it is like in Indiana, because in Indiana, you can go to Ivy Tech Community College, and they have things like where if you want to get this certification, like this electrical certification, you can go there and get this certification to for electrical or plumbing, or like they have like a thing where they're working with like Go to Work Indiana, I think it is, one of these organizations where what they do is they get you the certifications you need to be able to go to Ivy, to go to like SIA and work. So that when you go to apply for SIA, you can say, yeah, well, I have this certification to use this machine or that machine or this equipment, or I have my welding certification, or I have this. Because my dad's dying for people. But you got to weld. You got to work with iron. You got to work on a brake press. And, you know, you're not going to be in some cush office. Yeah, my dad's not really in a cush office. But, hey, that's just how it goes. That district, the Kara McAuliffe, the District of Columbia lady who won that pageant, who was asked, you know, if healthcare is a right or a privilege. Well, if you got, it's a privilege, you know, you should have to have a job to have healthcare. And I don't really agree with having to have a job to have healthcare, but I believe it is a privilege. Because, see, we have freedom of speech. It's a right in America. But they can easily take that away from us. The Second Amendment is a right. They can easily take that away from us. I can say, okay, you want healthcare as a right? Well, I'll take it away from you. I think I want to be able to have healthcare, to be able to get healthcare, not have it. Well, I know healthcare is a right, but we're going to take that away from you. Yeah. Where? Because that's what's going to, okay, well, but I also agree on the same notion that, okay, well, I don't want to have 80 million people with no job, not working. Okay, I'm getting health care. Then why should I work? Why should I have to? I mean, if they're getting their health care paid for by the government, by somebody, then why would I want to do anything? See what I'm saying? That's the problem. So many people just want to hand it to them. Like those food stamp things. Someone's paying for this. No one's telling me my kid ain't going without food. Well, then why don't you do something to try to get him food? Why don't you hook up with some people and say, okay, let's get someone in this. Let's get together and see how these people coupon to where they get like $5,000 worth of groceries and walk out of the store with $20. Why don't you try to do something? Imagine if Democrats were in the Mayflower and they landed in the New World. Okay, you mean I have to build my own house so I have a place to live? But it's hard to believe that there are actually people that out there, there are very few of them that know that a lot of issues aren't just black and white. There is some gray area, you know, because there are people like, well, I can't believe that she said that healthcare is a privilege, not a right. Well, there's some gray area because it should be. I mean, I don't want that. I want a right you can take away. I don't believe. I mean, if you sit there and say, okay, well, you have to have a job to have health care. So if you become disabled or I become paralyzed and I can't work, am I supposed to not have health care? You know, and I love what you said about feminism, that she likes it if you're going to transpose the word into equalism. You know, this notion that, because most feminists think that they're better. I'm better than you because I'm a woman and better than that, and I need equal rights. They want to be like better than, well, no, there's no such, feminism is not about equal anything. It's about women better than men. Women having this. It's crazy. But Kentucky, I'm going to get into this because the Kentucky court hands Christian business owner a huge victory in the fight to preserve, you guessed it, religious freedom. This is just amazing. This is off of the Blaze, and the fight to protect the First Amendment right to freely exercise religion without government, you know, interference was just awarded a huge victory in Kentucky. In 2012, the Lexington City Human Rights Commission ruled that a local t-shirt printing company, Hands-On Originals, violated the city's fairness ordinance by discriminating against same-sex people when the business refused to print shirts for the 2012 Lexington Pride Festival ordered by Lexington's Gay and Lesbian Services Organization. And they basically said, hey, we're Christians, this violates our beliefs. And they won their case saying that they don't have to do that. And I've had people outraged about this, and I'm like, well, think about it. I don't think a black-owned bakery should have to make something that has the KKK symbols on it or swastikas on it. But don't worry, folks, because there were people that were, like, outraged when this, because there was a black bakery that had to do, like, a cake with all this KKK symbols and stuff on it. And how dare they have to do this? Oh, well. Oh, when the shoe's on the other foot. You know, if it was a gay couple that wanted to have a cake made and they refused, you're outraged. But now you're outraged. Well, the shoe, okay. If a black cake making company or a company that if a black family owns a cake making business and they have to make a KKK cake, oh, they shouldn't have to do that. Oh, well, then why should a Christian have to make a shirt that supports same-sex marriage, which goes against their religious beliefs? I want to see people go to a Muslim-owned catering company and say, yeah, we want pork and bacon and... Yes, they're discriminating against meat. It works both ways, folks. It works both ways. Because I don't want a black-owned bakery to make something that has symbols of the Aryan Brotherhood. That's wrong. So why should a Jewish person have to do something that goes against their religion? What they believe. But it's amazing how many, you'll have the same type of scenario, but you'll have people that will be like, wait a minute here. They accept this. You know, they think a Christian should have to do this, but the black owned business shouldn't have to do the same thing. You know? Because there's so many people in this world that are like, they're just black or white. Okay, you either support Trump or you don't support Trump. No, there's no, you can be in the middle. You can say, okay, I voted for Barack Obama, but I disagreed with this and this and this. I like that he did this. You know, you can have that. You can say, well, I liked George Bush for these reasons, but not for this. You know, all these people seem to be either black or white. They either support Trump or they don't. They either supported Obama or they don't. There's not anyone that's like, well, I liked this about him, but not this. And that's sad that you don't have realism anymore. Okay, we're going to impeach Trump no matter what. We don't care. He can't do anything right no matter what. And it goes to show, like with Trump care. Oh, Trump is taking away health care to millions. Well, come 2018, when the biggest providers of health care in the exchanges is getting out. So every person that has health care through that company via the exchanges is going to be without health care or a provider. There are cities already that don't have any health care or health insurance company in their marketplace, so they can't even get insurance. That's not Trump. That is Obamacare. That is the joke of a healthcare system. But it's the double standard. Like I said last week, and the week before, how many people when the Democrats were going out were outraged because congressmen and senators were not required to use Obamacare? They got exemptions. They weren't complaining. See, I want to have Trump rehire Comey just to see Democrats quick switch sides again. That's what they do. They switch sides so much to try to get whatever they can so that their agenda comes through, so that they win. This is how the Democrats work. I'm going to, $20 will flip a coin. Heads I win, tails you lose. They can't lose. They can't. They'll complain about everything that's in, Democrats will complain about everything that's in Trump care, that's in Obamacare, that they didn't complain about. Okay, you're bitching about this that's in the Trump care, or this health care bill that Trump's passed, and Democrats are going to bitch about all this crap that's in it. Well, this is basically an identical copy of Obamacare. I guarantee you could take the exact Obamacare bill that Obama passed. You could rip off the front page of it and put Trump care. Submit it, and Democrats will be outraged. The same people that supported that same thing. And you could go up to them, well, you realize that this bill that Trump just proposed, all they did was took the front page off it, and they took the cover off, and they put and printed a page, and instead of saying Obamacare, it said Trump care. That's all that's different. Everything else is exactly word for word what Obama had proposed. It's his bill, just with Trump care in the front, not Obamacare. So why are you bitching at it now when you weren't bitching at it when Obama proposed it? Because it's the same thing. That's how this whole thing is going. I mean, I think Trey Gowdy, I'd love to see Trey Gowdy run for the FBI director, but he said, hey, I've been in politics. It's going to be hard for me to be impartial, and it's going to be hard for me to get a number of my peers to say, okay, yeah, we think he's going to be impartial. Well, of course, it doesn't matter. Unless you get somebody that is a staunch Democrat to become the FBI director, Democrats are not going to support that candidate one iota. But hey, Oh, well, I mean, even if it was a staunch Democrat, they would, you know, they might give him the benefit of the doubt, but still, they probably like, well, they'd find some way to go after him, the Democrat, you know, even though it's a Democrat, they probably, because they can't say anything good about Trump. No, they can't. And that's what's sad. Now, I could respect Democrats if they say, you know, well, okay, well, I agree with him on these issues, but this, nah, I don't understand this. If they could at least like certain things, that's the difference. Most conservatives will call out something bad. It's hard to believe 99% of the crap that's coming out of the media when they were demanding impeachment of Trump before he even got elected, as you know, and I mean, not elected, but like sworn in. Yeah, CNN was like, yeah, we think he's going to do a great job. You know, we're gonna give this a try. Yeah, okay, yeah, but not that they ever would do that, but I'm just saying, you know, if they would have done that and said, okay, now. Like Ann Coulter, like, well, I think that some of the Trump's supporters that were going along with him, I think some of these anti-Trump people were right now. What are they? I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, what's going on? I mean, the stories that keep coming out about Trump, it's getting to be such that it's like they're crying wolf. Okay, well, now this, because I honestly feel that since they really have not one shred of evidence that proves that Trump was cohorting with Russia, and that's falling apart, that narrative, and they can't prove it, so now they got to go on some other bandwagon. I kind of feel like the Democrats are kind of like the rat at Olive Garden. They're hoping that they just like, here's money under the table, shut up. And we're sitting there saying, no, we don't believe it. No, we're gonna question it. Yeah, see, ma'am, we can't really do much for you because see, this rat right here is designed to eat pellets that would have come from a pet store. So this is not something that would have been wild. Now you would have been better off trying to catch a mouse in your house and then put that mouse in your salad and there you go. But this is a laboratory style mouse. So nice try. And that's what's happening. You know, they're trying to make up all this crap on Trump and we keep saying that we're calling your bluff. Okay. Lay your cards down. Let me see it. I got a three of a kind. What do you got? Show me. They don't have four aces. They were just bluffing, hoping that you would just fold. And that's what we got to keep doing, calling their bluffs. Well, folks, what I want to move on now and get into some Premier League action and stuff. And folks, we're in sixth place in 65 points in the table, and you know. I thought we could easily get into fourth place. But I know we've had some injuries and stuff, and we've had some players that are down. But now it's going to be the UEFA, the Europa League, that's going to get us into the Champions League as we take on Ajax. And I think it's going to be that's our only shot now. And there's so many rumors going around as we get ready for the transfer window after the season. And, you know, Wayne Rooney has finally spoken up and said, you know, 13 years with the club, I want to stay here. I got family here. I got stuff here. And for him to up and leave to go somewhere else, you know, it's almost like, okay, I'm too old to start at a new club, you know, and there's talk of him maybe going over and playing in MLS. See, I want to have, I mean, that's kind of cool if he would do that, but at the same time, I want the MLS to be more of like a, hey, why don't we get Wayne Rooney before he becomes big? Why don't we get some of these big stars to come to MLS? Okay, you know, they could go to the Bundesliga, they could go to the Premier League, they could go to, you know, the Spanish leagues or the Chinese Super League, but let's get them into MLS. And, you know, it'd be cool to have some, like, Zinedine Zidane and some Georgie Best and Cantona and some Nostroys, Ruben Nostroys, or, you know, play for MLS. You know, and then someone goes, this guy's incredible, and then they get picked up. You know, he was a star for the New York Red Bulls or the Philadelphia Liberty, and then, you know, instead of like, okay, now he's going to retire and go play for, you know, like the LA Galaxy for a couple years. You know, he's pretty much retired, but it's kind of like Daryl Waltrip used to do, you know. If I get into the Craftsman Truck Series, if I get into the truck every once in a while, get behind the wheel and get in that, I'm kind of staying that driver fraternity, you know, and he'd do like one or two races a year way back in the day. You know, it's kind of like, well, I should be retired from football, but I'm just going to kind of get in the MLS just so I can still, so I can play and remember the glory days. You know, I wish he would stay at United, you know, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I think he's just at a point now where, okay, he's settled in where he is. He's got a nice house. He's got a nice family. He's got everything. And to just kind of be able to, okay. And I think if he does something, I wish he would just stay at least in England, you know, that way for his family and all that. But I mean, the Premier League's kind of dying down now because, you know, Chelsea's won the cup and we can only get into the Champions League if we win the Europa League, which I think can easily happen. And Jose Mourinho has already selected his team. And I'm all for... I remember back in the day with NASCAR when it wouldn't be till like maybe the last 2 weeks of the season where they talk about potential driver changes and where they're going to go and will they switch teams and will Davey Allison stay with Robert Yates Racing, you know, we're going to get into that and talk about that. And that would be near the end of the season. Now it's, you know, I wish they'd wait till like the end of the season. And then, because the whole time, imagine if you're a player and like, okay, I got like 3 games left or 2 games left, 2 matches left. And you're wondering if, okay, am I going to play for United still? Am I not? You know, I got to figure out, okay, well, what if all of a sudden they say, okay, you're done. You know, that'd be a lot of stress on players, especially, you know, near the end of the, you know, when, and there's just so much talk going on. It's like, and I guess in the Premier League, it really doesn't matter too much because Chelsea's already won the title and stuff like that. But still, you know, you want to give your all and. But I think we got some exciting transfer possibilities. And there's so much going on that it's hard, especially with the football, it's hard to tell between what's a legit story and what's not and who's coming and who's not. Because you'll have like 10 stories of, you know, because there were times for oh, yeah, where Ronaldo wants to come back to United and all this. And then he'll come out in an interview saying, I don't know where this is coming from, but I don't really have any intention to come back to United and play. You know, if I did, maybe it'd be years down the road, you know, but I really don't have any intention at this time to even consider it. So I don't know where this is coming from. And you're having to wade through all these articles. And is this a legitimate transfer? Is this real? Is this not? And I almost just like try not to read some of it. And I'm like, okay, if we're going to get them, we're going to get them. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I want to get into a little bit of NASCAR and the race that went on in Kentucky. I mean, in Kansas. Because I guess Reed Sorensen blew a tire, got into Danica. They went around, got into Eric Almirola. They had to cut him out of the car. It didn't look that bad of it, like an accident, except for a lot of flames. And Eric Almirola got airlifted out of the car. And he had a compound fracture of the T5 vertebrae. That's why he just couldn't get out of the car. And he was taken to Kansas University Hospital. So he seems to be doing okay. He's in good spirits. They're talking to him, you know, wanting to know, like, how tight the belts were, how tight this was, how tight that was. So the R&D department, research and development, has his car. And they're checking out to, you know, what could have, you know, to see how they can make it safer so that that doesn't happen. You know, can they put like a thing in the back? Like if they would have had like some spring with the back, you know, I mean, what can they do to make it safer? What can they do to prevent a fracture of the vertebrae like this from happening again? Or can they? It may just be because a lot of those drivers know there are risks in NASCAR, and it's an occupational hazard. But, hey, Jeff Gordon straps in that race car, he might not be coming home tonight. And I think with it hit home when Dale Sr. died, because, you know, you had Alan Kwicki and Davey Allison that died from other incidences that were off the track. Granted, they were huge figures, but they happened outside of the track. So, I mean, if it, you know, but when you had like Tony Roper die in the truck series and you had a couple others, you know, Senior was the one that woke everyone up saying, okay, yeah, he was the Superman that can't die. Heroes don't die. Well, and that woke them up. And now they, not that they never took safety innovation seriously, but, you know, obviously they jumped 10 years ahead when he died. Okay, we need to really jump on this. So it's just, I guess they haven't announced because he's going to be out of the car, of course, until he gets the okay from doctors. And even if he gets the okay, he needs to be very careful, because just because you're giving the okay doesn't mean you can sit there and, like doctors have kind of told me, he goes, okay, if you break your leg, you were 100% before the leg break. Well, now when it 100% heals, you may be at 80% or 90%. You know, so many people think, oh, my leg's healed, so I'm at 100% where I was before. And then they try to go back to the lifestyle they had and go 100 miles an hour, and then they re-injure it and all this. So, you know, just kind of take that into consideration. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in where you are all over the world. And remember, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes. And until next Thursday, coming right up here, folks, good night and God bless. Goodbye.